Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
So I get up there, and the first pitch I throw, like, shin guard still on, touch 90. And I'm like, man, I didn't even, like, really let it eat there.
So you step on the mound that prior weekend. You throw a bullpen for your coach on a Monday. On a Wednesday, you're getting scouted as a pitcher.
Yes, and it was honestly really crazy, too, because I would definitely say I see myself as a back-end guy. I think that I'll be the next Mason Miller.
Out to center. This is cranked. It's way back, and it's gone!
Welcome back to the Couch GM podcast. Today I have on Grant Knipp, who is the Seattle Mariners sixth round pick in the 2024 MLB draft. Grant has a wild story as he was drafted as a two-way player out of Campbell University. Through 22 games, he led the country in home runs, RBIs, and slugging percentage as a hitter. And after impressing coaches in a bullpen session last fall, he stepped on the mound for Campbell this year. And after being drafted as a two-way player by the Mariners, they have transitioned him from catcher to DH, and they are also focusing now on developing him as a pitcher in the bullpen. And as Grant states, his goal now is to become a back-end closer, similar to the story of Mason Miller. Make sure to like and subscribe if you're watching this episode on YouTube, and if you're listening to the audio-only version, make sure to leave a five-star review on your preferred podcast platform. And this podcast is sponsored by myself. I am a mortgage loan advisor, mortgage broker full-time. If you're thinking of buying, selling, or refinancing in the Pacific Northwest, make sure to reach out to myself, the Couch GM, or visit brokerconnorweb.com to hit a home run with your mortgage financing needs. This podcast is also sponsored by Black Label Supplements. Make sure to check out blacklabelsupplements.com. Use code COUCHGM for 15% off your order. And with that, let's get into the podcast. All right, Grant, thank you for joining me. First off, congratulations on being drafted by the Seattle Mariners, sixth round of the 2024 MLB draft. Really looking forward to hearing your story and a bit more about you. Let's start with draft day. And what was that day like for you and that overall experience?
Oh, man, it was hectic. You know, like a lot of draft stories are, just kind of hanging out with the family and some friends, playing a little bit of pool. Just sitting there and then finally getting a call. I actually got a call before the Mariners was expecting to get picked before that by a different team. And then sitting there, didn't end up getting picked. So you kind of feel like it was like the air got sucked out of the room. And then we're just sitting there playing pool again, actually. And then I got the call from the Mariners. And Ty Holub, the area scout over in North Carolina, actually texted me right before and said, I hope you're watching the draft. So I kind of knew it was finalized at that point. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. And then since the draft, you know, what have the next steps been? Have you been starting to work out at the Mariners facilities? What does that all look like?
Oh, yeah. So we got here. We actually, it was kind of crazy, like 2 days after flying out here. And actually, my flight got canceled in Charlotte. So I got out here a day later than everybody else. There were some guys that were with me, but we get out here a day later than everybody else. So I had to run through everything pretty quick, and then basically got right into draft camp, started doing, especially for me, trying to figure out, am I going to do my throwing program today? Am I hitting today? Just kind of doing a little bit of everything, trying to definitely lean in more towards like with the pitchers, just because like they wanted me to get more instruction when it comes to pitching, just because it's so new to me. But definitely trying to figure out what can I do to help me continue my success.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you don't hear it every day that there's a two-way player, especially with your capability with the home runs and the RBIs that you had in college up until your injury. And then also you step on the mound and are hitting 100. Have you hit 100?
I haven't actually hit triple digits yet, but it's coming soon.
Yeah. So during the combine, you know, what did that look like? You know, because did they have different days for the position players versus the pitchers? Was it on the same day that you had to hit and pitch? What did that all that look like?
Mine was actually on the same day. So we flew in another, I don't know what it is with flights with me. I guess they love to get delayed or canceled. Got delayed a lot. I ended up getting into Phoenix around probably 1:30. Got to the hotel, had to get up at like 6:30, get breakfast, get over to the field actually for BP. So then I had BP, and then I actually was able to go back to the hotel, get a little nap in before I had to go back over. I was actually the last bullpen that day. So I had hitting in the morning and then pitching later in the evening.
Man. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to getting more into some of the post draft and all that. Let's go back to your childhood, how you got into sports initially. Walk me through where you grew up, you know, what sports you were playing and interested in, what players you were watching, and kind of your progression at that stage.
Right. So I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, lived there my whole life, and kind of played a little bit of everything. Honestly, I used to play lacrosse. I swam. I played football. I played basketball. Kind of played a little bit of everything, just trying to figure out what fit me the most. And then got to about middle school. I stopped playing everything except baseball about my seventh grade year, just because I felt like I could really have a future in baseball. Kind of matured a little bit earlier than everybody else. So kind of was a little bit, I wouldn't say necessarily like bigger or anything, but you could tell I was a little bit more mature on the field. So kind of got like recruited early and everything like that. But yeah, I played everything and then stopped playing just so I could really focus on baseball.
So you start only playing baseball. So at that time, were you a catcher and a pitcher? Or it sounds like you're relatively new to pitching?
Yeah. So I pitched a little bit. I would catch mostly though. I actually stopped pitching when I committed to Alabama out of high school, just so I could really focus on developing as a catcher.
Yes. So walk me through that. You know, what was it like in high school, the recruiting process, committing to Alabama, and then making the move eventually to Campbell?
Yeah. So, recruiting process was awesome. I got recruited real early, so it was pretty cool at a young age. I was probably 15 or 16, going on these big campuses, getting to visit those big campuses. So it's pretty sick, like pretty cool just being a young guy walking around on those campuses, being able to see everything like that. So got recruited super early, committed to Alabama, got to Alabama and decided kind of I really wanted to redshirt just because I was like 200 pounds. I wanted to develop in the weight room and then also just continue to develop as a catcher. So then redshirted and then decided to make the move to Campbell because I felt like I really need to develop further as a catcher. So I ended up making that move. I actually committed to a guy named Tyler Shoemaker, who actually I never even actually got to work with him. He actually left before I ever even got there and went to Vanderbilt. And then we ended up getting a guy named Joey Holcomb, who came from NC State. He did a great job with me. Put me in a one knee down stance, which was what I was actually looking for, just as a bigger guy, 6'3", now 230 pounds. Like, it's pretty hard to stay in the traditional stance for me. So I was able to get lower to the ground, actually became a lot better receiver. And just being able to throw, block, and receive out of one stance was great for me.
Now, does that one knee stance allow guys to frame pitches better, like bring pitches up out of the bottom of the zone? Is that kind of the mindset, or is it just to get you more off of your knees to help with the wear and tear?
I would say a little bit of both. Definitely 162 game season, or even in college, like my redshirt sophomore year, I caught 55 games not in a row. So actually our backup catcher got hurt, and then I ended up having just to catch the rest of the season. I think I caught like 33 games in a row. So it was pretty crazy. Like, wear and tear was obviously there. But I think it definitely just put me in a better position to receive pitches, block, and even throw. So,
and then up to that point, you know, were you watching baseball growing up? Were there certain players that you were looking up to? Was, you know, Buster Posey one of your big guys that you were watching? And was there a catcher that you were watching in the major leagues that you wanted to aspire to become?
Honestly, my dad used to take me down to the Louisville baseball games. And I didn't even really know any of the players' names. I just kind of would be like, hey, I want to be like that guy or whatever. So we actually, our families are kind of, we know Will Smith, the catcher for the Dodgers.
Okay.
So that's a guy I've kind of always looked up to when it comes to the catching side of things. Just because, I mean, it's pretty cool to see like his journey of how he ended up being a catcher, because he wasn't even catching, when he was in high school. He was actually I want to say he was a shortstop, and then ended up transferring over to a catcher, and now he's one of the best big league catchers out there. So,
yeah, he's hitting tons of home runs like yourself. So you mentioned you make the move to Campbell. As it states here, 55 games, you made 53 starts behind the plate that year. And then you head into 2024 and you just have a monster season. You were leading the country through 22 games with 18 home runs, 46 RBIs and slugging percentage. And then you had an injury. Walk me through this year at Campbell that started that season. You were on an absolute tear.
Right. It was pretty crazy, honestly. Like, I look back on it now and I'm like, man, it was just like, it was like literally like video game numbers. So it was pretty cool. It was like every time it was the most confidence I've ever had playing, walking up to the plate. Like, I was like, man, I know I'm about to get a barrel right here, regardless of if it's a hit or not. Like, I know I'm about to like hit something really hard. So it was just, it was really cool, honestly. And it now, like, looking back on it, it's like, man, I don't even feel like it really happened. But it was pretty cool. Pretty special.
Are you an analytics type guy? Are you looking at the metrics, or is it more of like a feel? Do they have that technology at Campbell that, you know, allow you to adjust certain things to try to chase these different analytics, or what's your approach with that?
Right. So we do. We have the TrackMan and everything like that. So actually, when we would hit BP or whatever it was, we always talked about like our 90th percentile. So if my max exit below was like 116 or 117. So we always, like, I was trying to chase my 90th percentile. So obviously hitting off a BP arm, trying to hit a ball 104 plus every time was pretty challenging. But it was definitely something I look forward to, just because it was a challenge for me, just because obviously hitting BP, it's a lot harder to hit a ball 104 plus. So,
yeah. And then, you know, in college, at what point did you start getting back on the mound and taking strides from that side of it?
Right. So it's kind of funny. I was playing summer ball for the Sanford Mainers after my redshirt sophomore year. And I would just be up there like messing around with the guys up there and be like, man, I want to pitch again. Like, I haven't pitched in so long. Like, I just miss pitching. And I was always like, I told our coaches up there, I was like, if we ever get up big, like, let me get on the mound. And that never ended up happening. But I went back to school. And I actually, I don't even know if I've actually ever even really told anybody this part, but I threw a bullpen. Two falls ago, I threw a bullpen just messing around. Actually had one of the other catchers catch me in the indoor, and then I never threw a bullpen again from then. And then this past fall, I was messing around. So I was catching in an inner squad and I was throwing down a second. I was like, man, it feels really good today. Like, it's coming out. I could tell it's really like have true flight down the second. So I was down in the bullpen warming some guys up, warming up a couple freshmen. And I was like, hey, like, what do y'all think I could hit off the mound? And they were like, dude, you'll at least hit 90. And so, like, I'm thinking, like, I wonder even if I can touch 85 anymore. So I get up there and the first pitch I throw, like, shin guard still on, touch 90. And I'm like, man, I didn't even like really let it eat there. So I let a few more go and I ended up getting up to 96 in the bullpen. And so this would have been on a Saturday. And then, so I threw a bullpen in front of our pitching coach on Monday, and then scout day was Wednesday. And that's when I was up to 98 at scout day.
Scout day, as in the day that the scouts from all the big teams are coming to your practice. That's when you just decide to, so you step on the mound that prior weekend, you throw a bullpen for your coach on a Monday. On a Wednesday, you're getting scouted as a pitcher.
Yes. And it was honestly really crazy too, because so it's our scout day it's typically like an inner squad. So we're having an inner squad and all of a sudden I'm just busting out to the mound and I'm just throwing a bullpen like in the middle of the inner squad.
Wow.
So I'm sure all the scouts were like, what in the world is going on? But it was pretty cool, because I was up on the mound. I threw my first pitch and I think it was maybe like 94.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Or something. I threw my next one and I was up to like 97. And then all of a sudden, like, I just see all the phones and all the radar guns come out. So it was pretty cool to stand up there and see that because it was all right in front of me.
Were there guys on your pitching staff that were hitting 97?
This past year we had one other guy who could run it up there, Derek Vartanian, who was our Friday night guy. But it was pretty funny because all the pitchers were pretty like, they were like mad, but like pretty cool about it. They're like, man, I've worked all my life to be a pitcher and I only throw 94. So I thought it was pretty funny whenever they were all saying that.
That's insane. That's awesome. Do you have any off-speed pitches that you're working with?
I do. So I throw, and honestly, so this is kind of a cool story as well. I learned to throw a Vulcan change actually while I was up playing in Sanford in summer ball. I was actually catching a guy named Ryan Butler who played at Liberty, and actually he just transferred to Ohio State because T-Rob, who was Tyler Robinson, who was at Campbell, went to Liberty. And then when Coach Hare left and went up to Ohio State, T-Rob ended up going with him. So now Ryan's going to Ohio State with him as well. But I was catching his changeup in games, and I'm like, man, like you have a really, really good changeup, like a plus changeup. How do you throw it? And so he like started showing me the grip. And so before games, we would just stand on the foul line, like just messing around. And I would throw a Vulcan change with him. So whenever I started pitching, I was like, this is my go-to. I already know how to throw it, so let me just run with this one. And then I also have – at first it was – I'd called it like a curveball, but now it's more people say it's a slurve. But it's a little – it's firmer than a slurve, I guess. It's like 82, 83. So that's – those are the two pitches that I – my two off-speed pitches. But I can also – I feel like I pick up on pitches pretty quick. So I can also throw a splitter, and I can also throw like a little cut, like gyro slider.
We're here today at Dev's Coffee Bar in Battleground, Washington. They built this podcast studio. Shout out to Austin. And if you're like me and enjoy a nice caffeinated cup of coffee, then visit orderdevs.com. Use code COUCHGM for free shipping on your order. The blend of my choice is the Deliciously Optimistic Blend. Definitely give this one a try. Now let's get back to the podcast. Yeah, it's always wild with pitching specifically because like you look at the Seattle Mariners, guys in a bullpen, we'll see someone throw a certain pitch and it's like, hey, how do you grip that? And then in their next bullpen, they just try it out. If you have that, if you just get that one feel on that one pitch, these guys are coming up with new pitches like all the time. It's ridiculous. Right. The Mariners, you know, added in, everyone added in a two seam a couple years ago. This last offseason, it was the splitter. Bryce Miller just learned a knuckle curve from Mike Bowman, who was on the team briefly. So the progression of being a pitcher, you know, you've been a pitcher for relatively a short amount of time from last fall ball to this year to now, you know, in pro ball as a two-way player. I'm really excited to see your progression and how that grows. Yeah. How do they have you working out right now? You mentioned that you're doing more pitching. What does that look like from a day-to-day basis? Are you still getting some catcher work in, or is it mainly like, hey, let's look at you as a pitcher.
So I'm actually, I guess you could say I'm a retired catcher now. I'm actually in more of a DH pitcher role as of right now. So I don't know. That could end up being maybe a first base type role in pitching. But as of right now, it's just a DH pitcher role. So it's actually a pretty cool life, honestly.
Yeah, it makes sense to keep you off your legs, you know, keep you healthy for when you're on the mound.
For sure.
So you're on a pitcher progression. What has that experience been in the Mariners system so far? The Mariners pitching development is very highly spoken of, and they've produced some solid guys over the past few years specifically. What has that been so far, that experience?
Oh, it's been awesome. So Matt Pierpont, one of the pitching guys, he actually, like, we got to sit down and have all these meetings, kind of like showing you the foundation of the organization and everything when it comes to the pitching side. And when I had my one-on-one meeting with him, he was kind of like, what's one thing that's really stuck out to you when it comes to the pitching so far? And I was like, honestly, everything, because I don't know a whole lot when it comes to the pitching side of things. So just all the numbers they were throwing at me and everything like that, it was really cool to see. Like, we got to take notes during all of it. So I still look back at those notes and I'm like, man, like, it's pretty cool. Like, one of the really cool things that stuck out to me was 90, like on 00 pitches, 94% of the pitches, something good happens for you as a pitcher, but a lot of people only really look at the 6% of the bad things. Like, oh, I threw an 00 fastball and the dude hits it out of the park or whatever. But 94% of the time it's going to go good for you. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I was like, all right, they basically tell us like, hey, let's throw the 00 pitch like heart of the plate, just throw right down the middle. So that's kind of one thing that was surprising to me, because honestly, like, I remember being on the mound. That's kind of what I tried to do. Like, I wasn't really trying to go corner to corner. I was just trying to let my, like, my fastball play over the middle of the zone, let my breaking ball do what it needs to do and everything like that. Just trying to throw it right down the middle. So,
yeah, that really is the key, is throwing strikes. And you look at, as you were describing, you know, the splits between going 0-1 to 1-0, the results of the rest of that plate appearance are significant. And, you know, as you mentioned, you're not going to be facing George Springer every time, to where if you do throw a heater down the middle, he's taking a yard, you know, 96% right. of the time, it's probably going to be in your benefit. Have they kind of worked in some new pitches for you as well? Or is it just kind of, you know, the rest of the pitchers that are in the development with you? Are you guys feeding off of each other, sharing tips?
Oh, yes, for sure. I haven't thrown any bullpens at all. I won't throw any actually while I'm here. Just kind of getting into the flow of everything, just kind of feeling out everything. Just sticking with the three pitches that I have. But definitely they said once we start throwing bullpens and everything like that, they'll throw some stuff at us, different grips and everything like that, to try to start working on. Because honestly, that's one big thing that I've wanted to do. So my fastball obviously has been up to 98, and then my breaking ball is around like 82, 83. So it's a 15-mile-an-hour difference. So I'd like to be able to throw, like, if I could throw like the gyro slider, like right around 90, I think that would benefit me a lot, honestly.
Yeah. And are guys like Durangelo and Ryan Sloan down there also, the other draft picks?
Yes, they are. So everybody is actually here. There was actually, I think, six or seven guys got shipped off. Today, they actually went to Modesto. So right now, there's probably 18 of us that are here. We're just doing like our typical throwing program. Some guys are still kind of building up, because they're going to end up going to Modesto or someplace like that as well.
Yeah. How has been being a catcher your entire life helped you on the mound with being able to pitch tunneling and sequencing and all those different things?
A ton, for sure. Like, definitely, like, you don't want to be the catcher that's sitting back there and the guy that's trying to nitpick and throwing a bunch of balls, walking a lot of guys. So, like, getting up on the mound, I'm thinking the same thing. Like, man, I don't want my catcher sitting back there for a while, so let's just attack this guy and go right at him. And if something bad happens, it happens. But I'd rather them beat me than me beat myself. So,
yeah. And are there specific pitchers in the league, or are you watching more pitching tape now that you're on this side of it, to where you're trying to look for things, or guys that you aspire to shape pitches after?
Honestly, I haven't really done a whole lot of video, just looking at different guys, but I'll definitely start looking at the starting or the rotation for the Mariners, just because I think it's five of the six starters are guys who have they actually developed in the organization, which is awesome to hear, just because, like, that's kind of the stepping stones that I want to take. Being the guy who develops in the organization and makes it to the big leagues as a pitcher. So it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Everyone outside of Luis Castillo, you know, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, Brian Wu, Bryce Miller, Emerson Hancock, they were all drafted in the past 4 years and developed through their system and have had great success. Do you see yourself as being in that back end of the bullpen type role, or have they thought about being as a potential starter, or is it really out of the bullpen?
I would definitely say I see myself as a back end guy. Honestly, I told my buddy this actually today. I was like, man, like, I was like, this is crazy to say, but I see myself as the next Mason Miller. Honestly, just because, like, I think the development for me is going to be awesome. And I think my velo is going to tick up. And I think my stuff is already, like, honestly really good. So I think that's where I'll be. I think that'll be the next Mason Miller.
Yeah, that's a great pitcher to aspire to become. I mean, his story is insane, you know, with his diabetes. He learned that he had diabetes, and then he packed on the weight, the velocity, same with yourself, in the fact that, you know, it's been relatively late to you stepping on the mound, and your progression now that you're focusing on it completely, you know, might have that same type of escalation. What are you most looking forward to over the next, you know, 2 months, and then over the next year?
Definitely just the development side of things. Like, I'm super excited just to develop more as a pitcher and even as a hitter. I think one thing that'll be really cool is once I actually throw a bullpen. So we have a machine here called a traject. So it basically projects the pitcher up on the board. Like you can hit off whoever you want. You can hit off Jacob DeGrom and all those guys. And it actually goes through their motion and it comes out. It's a $600,000 machine. So it literally, it shows the, like, it's the exact movement of every pitch they have. So once I throw a bullpen, they said they'll actually put me up on the traject and I'll get the myself. So I was like, oh, that'll be pretty cool.
Have you already faced some guys on that, off that machine?
I have. So I did face DeGrom, and it's pretty crazy. Especially his, I didn't realize his arm slot's a lot lower, than what you would think. So his fastball, it only rides at about 17, 18 inches, but from his arm slot, it makes it look like it's like 22.
And even when you know where the, what pitch is coming and where it's going, it's, I imagine it's still pretty tough to hit.
Right. It is for sure. Especially when it's 99 to 101.
Have you faced Munoz off the machine yet?
I have not.
Okay. Yeah. I heard of guys that were stepping in against Munoz off the machine. And I mean, that's just insane.
I know. Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's probably by far the coolest machine I've ever hit off of. The next person I want to face is Skeens, because I want to see that one. So
his splinker that he has with his 100 miles an hour, and he's got the unique arm slot also. He's kind of off to the side, and I mean, he's lights out right now.
Right. It's crazy.
What do you do in your spare time when you're not playing baseball, when you're trying to just relax and not think about baseball?
Yeah. So here it's honestly, it's a lot different because everything's in the morning. And then we finish and it's like, man, like I have 10 hours until it's time to go to sleep. Like, what do I do? So I've kind of, you know, like the video games, obviously NCAA football just came out. So playing that a little bit. But then it kind of gets old. So it's like, man, like I don't want to sit here and play video games for 4 hours. Like, what do I do now? So honestly, like I love to play golf, but nobody wants to play golf in 110 degree weather here. So I get that one too. So honestly, it's kind of just like sit and chill, like maybe scroll on TikTok for a little bit, kind of just trying to figure out like little different things that you can do, like around the apartment or whatever. I got a scooter that I'll go ride, randomly. So it's just kind of figuring out little different things you can do that to kind of pass by time.
Absolutely. Are you an MLB The Show guy?
I used to be, but I had a 99 overall team in season one, and then they changed it to season two and you can't even use those guys. And I was like, man, I don't even want to play anymore. Now I got to rebuild my whole team.
Yeah, that's definitely a grind. And yeah, yes, that's the same type of thing. Yeah. And then NCAA football comes out and then you start playing that. You don't got the time for everything.
Right.
Well, cool. Really appreciate your time. Really looking forward to watching you progress over these next few years, and really cool story that you have so far with the two-way. I mean, that's just not a common thing anymore. Outside of Shohei, there's Jack Caglione that was out of University of Florida. Really excited to see you progress. And yeah, again, really appreciate your time to hear your story and looking forward to seeing where you go.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
Out to center. This is cranked. It's way back.